Hello, everyone. I'm Joel Yu. Thanks so much for tuning in to Expert Insights, where we talk with industry leaders across modern financial services to discuss leadership and innovation. Let's get started. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Expert Insights. I am super pleased to have with me today Mr. Dan Catinella, who is the Chief Lending Officer at Total Expert. And this is the first time, Dan, that had you on the podcast actually as a part of the Total Expert team. So great to be with you, buddy.
Yeah, excited to be here.
So what do you think of the week, man?
Man, it was an interesting one for sure. You had the Fed make a big adjustment this week, which everybody, projected.
Yeah.
Another 0.75-point adjustment. And, I'm hearing from LOs, they're quoting in the sevens this week. So it was certainly some new challenges for them out there.
Yeah, so we'll give the audience a little bit of context. But both you and I have been on the road extensively the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, where are we at now?
I was trying to remember what city I was in yesterday. But I've been in Boston, Cincinnati, Vegas, Atlanta, and somewhere else all in the last few weeks. And I know you've been...
Digital Mortgage, Mortgage Collaborative. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind the last 3 weeks.
You were in Chicago and a Digital Mortgage. And so the unique part is we're both having a lot of conversations with executives in mortgage lending, but also executives in partners, the tech partner community that serves the lending community.
For sure.
And then we're also talking to some of the salespeople as well.
Right? Absolutely. Top producers all across the country.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, let's maybe break down a little bit of kind of what's going on fact-wise in the market. As we mentioned, Fed raised rates. Rates are quoting in the sevens. You know, what are some of the other data points that a lot of people are talking about? And give me your feedback.
We got home price appreciation. So I think we're starting to see a level off all across the country. I think, listening to other economic people that are a lot smarter than me, they're starting to see, projecting some dips in various geographic markets. So I think we're going to see some of that. But ultimately, some mostly flattening in appreciation trends, as we would have expected, at rates increasing at the rate they have. Customers still have all-time high equity that, we're really trying to figure out how to leverage that equity and place them into different products. And we're also seeing customer sentiment at all-time lows, according to Fannie Mae's purchase index.
And understandably so, with prices still pretty elevated. Now the amount of money that it takes to have that monthly payment has went up massively. Right?
For sure.
And so we're finding ourselves in this really interesting environment where you've got elevated rates, elevated home price appreciation. But what's interesting is you're starting to see the signs of the market correcting itself, right? Like we were talking about this
earlier. Rebalancing of the market to pre-pandemic levels.
So good part about this market versus a lot of people are pretty fearful right now. So we're both spending a lot of time talking to the leaders, getting their perspectives and how they're seeing what are the facts tell us versus what's sort of the buzz and sort of the fear, which tends to be, people kind of panic short term. But long term, people are incredibly bullish on the U.S. housing market in general, right? Home ownership in America, nobody's betting against that long term.
No. I think talk about consumer sentiment. I think it's somewhere around 73% of consumers don't think it's a good time to buy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, most of that is driven from media. We know the media is going to always kind of project most of the negativity and not necessarily
optimistic. It's never really as bad or as good as they ever say it is.
For
right?
sure.
That's been
For
my
sure.
experience. You
yeah.
agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, what we're seeing lenders do is really being at the forefront of that information stream and making sure that they're, educating consumers and really creating winning strategies that, are still applicable into this market today. But to your point, as far as demand goes, consumers, there's still a high demand for homes, and that's never going to go away.
Yeah.
So how do you put together and really help consumers get into those dream homes really in any market? is what where we're seeing some of the lenders really focus.
Yeah, so we were in Cincinnati yesterday, actually, and Samantha, one of our sales engineers, was with me, and we had a few of us out meeting with an executive team and a team of top producers talking about the next 12 months, strategies, priorities. But it was interesting that Samantha just bought her first home, just closed in the last couple of weeks, right? And so I'm like, you know, you have an interesting perspective right now, because a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, nobody's going to buy a house, right?
Yeah.
And so she walked me kind of through, right? Yes, my payment is higher than it would have.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, but it honestly took us 2 years to find a house.
Right.
And she said, we're just looking at it as, yeah, we're going to pay more right now, but we get to own our own house and we get to build equity. We get to divorce our landlord, yeah, which is one of my new favorite terms.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, this is a long-term life decision for us. We want to be homeowners. And I think people forget that that underlying need is not going to go away.
For right? Sure. Yeah. Marry the home, date the rate, divorce the landlord,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So kind of the where we're going with this is actually a lot of the conversations I'm having, and I think the ones that you're having as well, the top originators, the people in the trenches, top companies, top originators, top practitioners are saying, you know, everybody that purchases a home from me right now, I'm going to help them refinance 3 or 4 times.
Absolutely.
Over the next couple of years. You agree with that? What are you hearing?
100%. Same thing. You know, listen, let's get you into the home. In most cases, home appreciations are still going to tick up. So there's a cost of waiting and not purchasing that home this year. But let's get you into that dream home. And even though we may be locking you into a 30-year mortgage, it's just going to amortize over 30 years. But there's going to be an opportunity when rates do come down for us to talk about a refinance and another transaction to lower your monthly payment. But let's get you in that dream home.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. I'm going to shift gears a little bit and maybe let's talk about a lot of our listeners want to hear, right? What are their peers saying? What are they thinking about? What are they working on? Maybe share with me. You've had a lot of executive level conversations with banks and lenders, some customers, some not customers. You're really plugged in. What is the pulse saying? What are you hearing? What are the themes?
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly primary number one is, you know, cost reductions. You know, how is my organization really starting to look at building the right operational model for kind of the new capacity that I need? So that is certainly continue to be a trend. And I would see that, you know, through the end of the year.
So essentially lining up, I'm hearing some of the same, lining up my fixed costs from an operations perspective and making sure that I look out the next 3, 4, 5 months and I've really right-sized my operational expense with my sales volume, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, absolutely. And
sounds, you know, simple.
Looking at your tech stack, too, and really making sure, I mean, it goes beyond just kind of the staffing model, right? That's a big component and usually the number one expense on everybody's balance sheet. But also looking at, you know, what other investments am I making? What partners am I investing in? Are they providing the right level?
Where am I getting value?
Of return on investment's a huge one.
Yeah, some of my conversations have, and give me your feedback and see what you've heard, but have been, look, in when the markets are crazy, you're adding people, you're just, it's like, oh, let's throw headcount at it, right?
100%.
There's a new tech tool, there's a new shiny, let's buy it, right? Nobody really looks at running the business like you should be running a business. Sort of these exuberant markets, they insulate a lot of bad decisions.
For sure. I mean, you know, you start being a little less strategic and start being more of, let's just run after the next shiny object. And I think that's what organizations are really, you know, looking at today and evaluating. All right, have we done a good job of implementing this? Does it really align with the rest of our tech stack? And does it ultimately provide value for our business?
Yeah. Largely, I think one of the benefits right now is volumes have slowed down, and most of the companies that have leadership, including banks are they're certainly looking at home equity products, and we see a lot of the independent banks that are putting home equity products, some of which are starting to get into insurance and looking at it very, very differently. But a lot of them are saying, you know, this right now is an opportunity for us to think about the next year to 2 years and then make some adjustments, micro adjustments, macro adjustments on strategy, systems, people, team, kind of just dial in the business. Is that what you're hearing?
For sure, for sure. And, you know, just to touch on kind of product diversity, I think is a major trend in the industry. You know, you got a contraction going on in your traditional, conventional, you know, forward business. So how are you going to, how are you trying to supplement that with additional revenue streams? And the easiest one is just, you know, kind of expand the box. And really trying to cast a wider net out to a consumer base to serve more customers. So, you know, are you looking at, you know, like to your case, it's, you know, am I looking at HELOCs to tap into, you know, a trend of increased equity in the market? Am I looking at reverse mortgages and getting into that market? I mean, that's a tremendous, I mean, I think the baby boomers are producing somewhere around 10,000 consumers eligible for reverse mortgage per day.
So
Non-QM, another big trend. You know, can I, you know, look at non-traditional income qualifying borrowers and really cast the net out there to attract and serve more customers?
So I'm just essentially a lot of what you're telling me, the conversations that you're having is they're being really methodical about saying, okay, the market is what it is. We can't control what's happening with rates. We can't control what necessarily is going to or not going to happen with price appreciation, but we can shift strategy.
Absolutely.
And what I'm hearing you tell me, and I would say it definitely is some of what I have heard as well, is let's just go down the list and find what are the levers that we have to drive revenue and growth. What are the levers, right? And what you're saying is expanding that product mix is a big lever that can be controlled, and we're going to see more on that. Do you agree?
Absolutely. We're going to definitely see some more product innovation across the board. And, you know, it'll probably make some originators a little uncomfortable, like, and it's got to be, you know, implemented in the right way to not create friction around the originators. You know, originators traditionally aren't, you know, that keen on selling a HELOC program. From a financial aspect, it just doesn't, you know, always make a lot of sense. But if it's a frictionless process and it just allows them to keep a consumer in their environment, it's a win long term that they can then service that customer for the next, you know, mortgage transaction.
Do you think this is forced a mindset shift for a lot of originators?
It's a great question. I think the short answer is yes. I think 9 out of 10 originators I talked to today have kind of completely changed their mind shift into more an advisory role. I think the transactional loan officers, if they're not, you know, exiting the business already, they shortly will be. But I think the guys that will be in this business long term over the next 10 to 20 years will be the guys that really are that advisor. That, you know, and we're certainly seeing the local mortgage advisor win in this market.
Sort of this resurgence of, hey, I'm in your market. I know, you know, the economic factors, housing pricing that impact your community.
Absolutely. And they own the real estate agent relationships too, which is, you know, primary source for purchase business.
The other financial professionals such as realtors that kind of, you know, we talk a lot about a consumer's got all these different financial milestones in their life, and great brands, great originators, great advisors, whatever the line of the business you're on, thinks about it holistically. They think about what's, you know, what's going on over all these different financial milestones, and how can I be a partner along every one of those? And it was like the last couple years, people were just like, whatever, I just need to close my deals.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, when you got deals just falling out of the sky, whether you talk to a consumer or not, they're just coming to you. It's, you know, people have now, you know, this year shifted back into the mindset of, all right, now I'm back to a hunter and gatherer versus just, you know, just a rainmaker coming out of the sky. But
Do you want to, it's less funny because I was having a conversation with a group of originators, and I'm like, you didn't really think it was that easy, did you? Like, did you forget? I mean, when you and I were coming up in the industry, it was like, you had to get up and hunt for your food every day, right?
Yeah.
Like, you had to go find the business.
For sure. I mean, 2 years is a long run to be able to just have deals just falling from the sky. So it's, you know, I get it. It's easy to forget. Yeah. But most of the guys have been in the business for much longer than that.
You think this cycle is going to be good for the industry as a overall?
I think the industry, listen, industry average, I mean, we talk about this all the time, right? Industry average is still like 1 out of 5 consumers come back to the same originator and or lender.
which is shockingly low.
Our industry is one of the lowest. If you look at all the industries,
20% retention of customers.
Yeah, it's just not good.
And
right?
We see that across the board.
Yeah. And so I think that's the big shift that's going to happen next, is really seeing that shift to this advisory role, making sure that we use data, intelligence, the surfaces, opportunities to make sure we're staying in front of customers in the right way and surface the next opportunity, and being more of that advisor than ever before.
Yeah, one of the words that I've heard a lot from conversations that I've had is how do we translate, how do we show empathy to our customers, like, more than we have before? Customers and partners and whatnot, right? And it's something I hadn't really heard for a while.
Yeah, I mean, we used to use the saying, serve your customers, don't sell them. So I think it's kind of in the same, humanize, serve.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of mindsets that I think originators are starting to focus on. Hey, I may serve you with a HELOC today because I really think that's the best solution for you financially.
You're helping them. What you're saying is people are saying, I need to help them make good financial decisions.
For sure. For sure. So I may position a cash out, but ultimately they may end up with a HELOC. And if that's the best way to serve them, then I'm going to offer them the HELOC. But I know it's going to build a long-term relationship and trust that I'm going to get their next 2, 3, 4 transactions down the road.
How many of the conversations that you're having are related to, in some way, shape, or form, maximizing lifetime value of a customer?
More so than ever before, for sure. We talk to a bank or a lender, really looking at every customer they acquire and mapping out their entire kind of financial journey and all those milestones, like you mentioned, and really figuring out really how do we engage them at the right time? How do we know when the next opportunity presents itself to take an advisory role?
How do we educate them and keep them informed?
Educating advice is never, we talked about the media, right? I mean, you got to combat the media with solid education and advice and position yourself as an expert in the marketplace. So, they're not going to call somebody from the media to ask advice and questions, right? They're going to call the advisor, the expert in the field.
Yeah. One of the execs on the sales side that I was talking to earlier this week had made a statement. The question he's asking his sales team is, look, do your prospects and customers turn to you for information? Do they look to you to give them the real answers?
Absolutely. And I think it even goes to your referral partners, too. Are your referral partners deferring to you for information?
Are you a trusted source? And you have to kind of earn that, right?
You got to earn it.
The way you interact, the way you present yourself online. This is not a, hey, throw out a banner, we're the greatest lender ever, we're going to close on time. That I would say is a little bit out of fashion.
Absolutely. And having a digital presence with, reviews that, are meaningful is more important than ever before.
It really is about, in a lot of ways, focus again, right? Focusing smaller, local, focusing on the relationship elements, longer lifetime value. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, the things that we're hearing, considering what's going on. If I think about what people are really thinking about the next 12 months, maybe get a little bit more specific on what we're both hearing. I will say from my perspective, I think people are largely saying, look, we think sometime, give or take a month or two, by the back half of next year, probably Q3, we're going to be in an environment where we can start having refis again. Agree or disagree?
Yeah. I'm no economist, but I certainly listen to a lot.
I thought you were. Actually why we named you Chief Lending Officer. I'm just kidding.
So I think all the projections that, I've seen and I hear, and I truly do believe this, I think we'll be in a normalized market come Q2 of next year. So hopefully set up for success, all this volatility is behind us, we get inflation in check, and we'll really be to kind of, a 2019, 2018 level of origination. I'm hoping, we're somewhere back in the fours from an interest rate perspective. And
that's
maybe
a little more bullish than I would have thought. You think really there's a chance of that?
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah, maybe it's a little deeper into
the Fed. I mean, look at what's happening. They're shocking the system right now, right? Like, dropping a bomb on.
They got to get inflation in check. I mean, when interest rates are not going to start coming down until they get inflation in check. Yep.
And when they do, you're going to see fairly immediate, at least some relief.
Yeah, we're going to start to see trends down for sure. And, you know, my hopes are is that by the spring market next year, we're in a much more normalized market. So we're really hopefully talking about two quarters of, you know, some significant challenges. But to your point is, you know, what you do today is going to set up for future success come next year. And, you know, if I can get a customer into a home, even if it's at a 6.5% or 7% interest rate today, I can help that customer refinance, you know, next year or the year after and lower their monthly payment.
Yeah. If I think back through a lot of the conversations, and I was going through my notes this morning and all the conversations that I've had over this last couple of weeks, and it really is clear there's two different buckets of how people are thinking about this. People are thinking about how do I accelerate on the backside of this and how do I put distance between myself and any competitors, right? There's that rule of thought or that mindset. And then there's the other mindset to where my head is on a swivel. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to get hit in the face with a baseball bat next, right? Like rates and margin calls and originators leaving and recruiting and or lack of like all of these things. So they're really some people are having a hard time figuring out, just reacting to the pace of what's happening out there.
For sure. I just say it another way. I think there's people that, you know, really have built a, you know, pile of, you know, equity within their company and are now using this market to really make smart investments and organically grow and or look at M&A activities. I mean, the reality is we're going to see more probably M&A activities and more movement in the industry than probably we've seen since the meltdown.
Yeah, no, I would say that has been 100% consistent. We're seeing that manifest itself in deal flow. The advisors and consultants that we stay in touch with are saying, hey, there's a lot of deals moving around right now, which, you know, happens in these times. And I think it's just important to have context.
Yeah. Right? And I think some of it is driven just by there hasn't been much movement in the industry. You know, the originators ultimately had, you know, so many deals and their pipelines were so full. No originator, you know, typically, you know, from lenders I've worked with in the past, you know, we would always see the movement starting in the fall through the winter, right, when their pipelines are a little shallower. But that never happened in 2020, 2021. There's, I think, a little pent-up demand of moving out of an organization into another one, whether they think it's a better fit or not is questionable. But, I think that's one of the drivers as well.
Yeah. Some of the questions that I get are really around people that are tech companies that serve the space. Some of our own internal team at Total Expert are having a hard time digesting the headlines. They're like, oh my gosh, like every day there's a mortgage headline, you know, what's happening? And how do you respond to that? Because I think it's important.
I mean, the only way to respond is through really true, solid education and advice. And, you know, consumers are seeing all those headlines too, right? Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to buy a home right now. It's, you know, the sky is falling. You know, the housing market's is crashing. And, you know, those are all just false. I mean, there is no credit crisis, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not having a credit crisis. We're having a rebalancing of the market to pre-pandemic levels.
And prices shouldn't have doubled in less than 24 months on some of these houses.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, 30% appreciation in some markets.
I think people are quick to forget that.
Yeah.
Do you agree? Like, they're quick to realize that, wait a second, the house that I paid $600,000 for 9 months later is worth $900,000 or whatever the number is.
Yep.
Like, literally, a lot of these markets saw prices double in less than 24 months.
Absolutely. My personal opinion is I don't think it's all going to come away. I think there's going to be some decline in some certain markets that just were crazy.
Yeah, neither one of us are predicting prices are going to go back all the way down. I do think you're going to give some of those gains back.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think most people are hoping not too much, but I do think some of them will come down. But I also think that it's also created, you know, that is one of the trends, obviously, you know, especially if you didn't have an asset, if you didn't own a home, you're at a stronger disadvantage than ever before, right? There's a higher barrier of entry now, especially for first-time home buyers. So there is a bit of an affordability crisis going on that we're seeing.
Yeah. One of the other conversations that I've been having multiple times over this last month or so is people looking at the sort of underserved areas where homeownership hasn't necessarily been available to a lot of areas, a lot of neighborhoods. And it seems like there's an increased focus from the Fed on federal government on serving these communities. I listened to the top six or seven banks, mm-hmm. a couple of which are customers of ours, testify in front of the House and talked about one of the things they were getting grilled on is affordability and access to credit. What are you hearing in that space?
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. You know, it's mostly around lower to moderate income families and how do we help them get into homes? You know, do they always have to be renters? Can we create creative credit models if maybe they just can't get a credit score, or you know, maybe they have, you know, untraditional income models? You know, how do we support those homeowners as well? I mean, you know, the FICO model has traditionally been the baseline for understanding somebody's credit, and you know, not everybody fits into that model.
Yeah, one of the things that I've heard a lot about lately that seems to be an important component to that is paying rent on time is now going to help build your credit. So you have people that maybe don't have a credit or a very thin credit file, and now if they're able to. So I bring this up because I think this is a whole other segment of home buyers that there's energy and focus and interest in turning the page and getting those people access to homeownership.
Absolutely.
That they want.
Absolutely. Getting them access to credit to be able to qualify for, you know, a mortgage, and some of the agency work that's being done is really to try to expand that box, you know, and target those consumers that have traditionally just been, you know, told no, that they don't qualify.
Yeah. So, man, we've both been put a lot of miles on. We're going to put a lot more on the next couple of months, basically both traveling.
I feel like I work for FedEx now.
I was going to say, somebody asked me, well, where do you live? I said, I kind of think sometimes I live in Delta Airlines, but actually, you know, Minneapolis. But no, it is, you know, as always, a privilege to be able to get out and have so many conversations.
Absolutely.
You know, any other comments that you're hearing from kind of from the trenches that might be relevant to chat about?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're also hearing, obviously, with so much movement, you know, a heightened focus on recruiting efforts.
Yep.
So how can I, you know, if I want to make an investment into growing my business, you know, how am I systematically looking at my recruiting efforts, and how can I really scale that out and really optimize those efforts in this time? I mean, this is a great time to be able to refocus on recruiting and really seize that opportunity. So that's definitely one of the trends for sure. And just, you know, overall LO retention, with all that movement, you know, how do I make sure that I'm providing as much value to my originators as possible?
Yeah.
So anything that you can really do to kind of showcase the value that your organization is providing to originators is a good thing to do right now.
And we saw, for a lot of the year, we saw a lot of people chasing, big signing bonuses, guarantees. Is that largely going away?
Definitely don't hear that as much.
Not hearing it as
much either. Certainly not as, you know, 9 months ago, even. So I think, you know, organizations are starting to get smarter with their cash. And I also think that, you know, originators are smarter. I mean, they know if they're going to, you know, sign a big signing bonus, they're smart enough to know that, hey, it's going to be built into my rate sheet over the next two years.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things, it's not just about money. A lot of people think, well, they're going to pay them more. It can be about money. But I think what the long-term strategy is, it's the whole picture, right? You got to be there for your salespeople. Are you helping them sort of get through the peaks and valleys mentally they go through, have the growth mindset.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Are you giving them the right products to arm them and go out and serve as many customers as they can, especially in this market, for sure. Yeah. Products, you know, and you got to put aggressive price on the street. I mean, it's ultra competitive out there. I mean, you can't be a half a point or a point difference in rate that you're going to lose some significant business this day. I mean, you know, there's more rate shoppers than ever before. So understanding, you know, when you're generating approval and being able to put the most aggressive thing you can in consumers' hands is really important right now.
Yeah, no question, buddy. Well, hey, man, great catching up, my friend.
Always.
All right, buddy. Thanks, everyone. Catch us next time on Expert Insights with Total Expert.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.